Chapter 39. Ink bottle, some old stumps of pens, and some dirty playbills, and against the wall were pasted several large printed alphabets in several plain hands. "What are you doing here?" asked my guardian.
"Trying to learn myself to read and write," said Crook.
"And how do you get on?"
"Slow."
"Bad," returned the old man impatiently. "It's hard at my time of life."
"It would be easier to be taught by someone," said my guardian.
"Aye, but they might teach me wrong," returned the old man with a wonderfully suspicious flash of his eye. "I don't know what I may have lost by not being learned afore. I wouldn't like to lose anything by being learned wrong now."
"Wrong?" said my guardian with his good-humored smile. "Who do you suppose would teach you wrong?"
"I don't know, Mr. Jarndyce of Bleak House," replied the old man, turning up his spectacles on his forehead and rubbing his hands. "I don't suppose as anybody would, but I'd rather trust my own self than another." These answers and his manner were strange enough to cause my guardian to inquire of Mr. Woodcourt, as we all walked across Lincoln's Inn together, whether Mr. Crook were really, as his lodger represented him, deranged. The young surgeon replied, no, he had seen no reason to think so. He was exceedingly distrustful, as ignorance usually was, and he was always more or less under the influence of raw gin, of which he drank great quantities, and of which he and his back shop, as we might have observed, smelt strongly, but he did not think him mad as yet. On our way home, I so conciliated Peepy's affections by buying him a windmill and two flour sacks that he would suffer nobody else to take off his hat and gloves, and would sit nowhere at dinner but at my side. Caddy sat upon the other side of me, next to Otta, to whom we imparted the whole history of the engagement as soon as we got back. We made much of Caddy, and Peepy too, and Caddy brightened exceedingly, and my guardian was as merry as we were, and we were all very happy indeed until Caddy went home at night in a hackney coach, with Peepy fast asleep, but holding tight to the windmill. I have forgotten to mention, at least I have not mentioned, that Mr. Woodcourt was the same dark young surgeon whom we had met at Mr. Badger's, or that Mr. Jarndyce invited him to dinner that day, or that he came, or that when they were all gone, and I said to Otta, "Now, my darling, let us have a little talk about Richard." Otta laughed and said, "But I don't think it matters what my darling said. She was always merry." Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.